You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Praise God. Everybody ready? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark 4. Real simple message I want to bring out tonight. Basically on the importance of God's Word in your life and you know how important it is to know it, to believe it, to stand on it, to act on it, to say it. It's just, you know, the importance of God's Word 101, nothing real deep here. But I think many times what happens is we look for the spectacular and we miss the supernatural. We're looking for sensational things and so simple things that put us over in life. When I slip and where I fall, I've missed a simple point, something I knew and I didn't do. It was carelessness. I knew better and I didn't believe, I didn't trust, I didn't pray, I didn't act on God's Word, I made a bad decision and so on. Wasn't real deep, wasn't real complicated. I didn't have to spin around three times and, you know, throw salt over my shoulder, click my heel three times, wish I was in Kansas. It was just real simple. You know, I just didn't believe God, didn't trust God, didn't do something simple like that. Before I got saved, I had no idea how important God's Word was. I didn't have a concept of it. It's a religious book. Yes, true. It is that in one sense. Historical book. It's a literature book of literature, all those things. And it's archaeologically sound, scientifically sound, and it's historically sound. It's sound in all respects, geographically sound. And, you know, you can look at it any angle you want to, a field of science or information or knowledge, and it fits the mold. It's a good book. Good book. Often called the good book. But actually, it's God's Word to us. It's an instruction manual for us to have a better life, have a better marriage, have a better, a better family, a better job, whatever the case may be a better witness, be a better Christian, to have victory in our lives instead of failure, to overcome sin, to get forgiven if we need it. You know, that happens. Anybody ever sin? Yes. Just want to make sure I'm in the right bunch here. To get forgiveness if that's the case. But I never really understood that. I never really understood the power of God's Word, that actually I could take God's Word and I could apply it in my life and I could live it and say it and pray it and do it and change the outcome, change my future, change my destiny. I was living my life like a thermometer and I could have been living my life like a thermostat. Are you with me? I was just reading the temperature, as it were. You know, if it's raining, it's raining. You know, how's it going? I don't know. I'd have to go out and feel whatever I felt like that day, whatever it looked like that day, whatever was happening to me that day. To me, determine who I was and my mood and everything, you know. And yet, God was saying, you can call for something else. Right. You can call for something different. In fact, that's what He did. You know, the Bible says in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In Genesis 1:1, and it says, darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God said, woo, sure is dark out here. No, he didn't do that, did he?
No.
But that would have been telling the truth, wouldn't it? You know, I often run across people who say, well, I don't believe in making up lies. I'm not going to lie about it. I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to just tell it like I see it. Well, I mean, you can do that, but you're never going to change anything that way.
That's right.
That's what a thermometer does. Just reads the temperature. A thermostat calls for something else.
Yeah.
And you go and you set that thermostat on another temperature, and it'll put in motion all that's necessary, I'll get in trouble on these air conditioning terms with Michael Harrison right here. But anyway, you know, the condensers and the compressors and everything and will kick in. And I'm telling you things, it'll start changing the temperature. Because you call for it. You don't accept what it is. You're not lying by calling for it. You're calling for something different. And God wasn't lying when He said, let there be light. But the entrance of His Word brought light. There's no question there that His Word changed the outcome. And see, you have within your power here the Word of God. If you believe it, if you stand on it, you're a Christian, you're a believer, you have the power to change the outcome, change your destiny. You can make a difference. And we're not saying just say it, just pray it, but live it. Just give your life over to it. You're not going to confess your way out of a situation you behave yourself into.
Wow.
Hello. You will have to change your behavior, but that's okay. If you'll start confessing the Word, you will start changing your behavior. If you start saying what God says, praying what God says, find out what God says. I mean, most of us just lie around in ignorance. We just don't know. Not bad people, just uninformed. You follow Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You'll find him going from village to village and synagogue to synagogue, teaching the people. Teaching, 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 teaching. He preached, but he taught more than he preached. Because there's a desperate need for teaching. Taught simple truths about asking and receiving, seeking and finding, knocking and the door being opened. Simple truths. Like here in Mark, the fourth chapter, about sowing and reaping. Because that determines our destiny. Our destiny lies in the balance of our daily agenda. It really does. What we do on a regular basis, daily basis, really determines our destiny more than anything. And if we don't change what we're doing daily, we're not going to change the outcome of our life. It'll continue to be what it is. But the good news is you can make a difference. Hallelujah. You can turn it around.
Amen.
If you'll change something you're doing, you can change the outcome you're getting. Real simple. Not complicated. The word has such power. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 4:4. Everybody have Mark 4?
Yes.
Just hold your place there. Because that's where we're going to start reading. But I have license to quote as much scripture as I want to. Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, you know, man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And he was quoting out of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, the 2nd verse. He was saying that we can live by God's word. That's something I didn't know before I got saved. I didn't realize that I could live by this word. Just as bread gives me sustenance and strengthens me and keeps me alive, God's word will give me sustenance and strength and keep me alive too.
Amen.
There is a power in God's word. This is not a newspaper. See, this is not a philosophy. This is not mind over matter. This is not man's take on this. This is not some mind science Eastern cult, you know. This is just what God says. This is not Christian science. This is Christian sense. Like to say it that way. But if you'll take these words and you'll incorporate them into your life, if you'll make them a part of your life, get up and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will be glad and I will rejoice in it. Psalms 118 verse 25 tells us that. If we'll start doing what God says, it'll make a difference. We'll start calling for something. We'll start being thermostats instead of thermometers. Instead of getting up and saying, man, I don't feel good today. Oh, man, it's going to be another bad day. Oh, I got up on the wrong side of the bed. Find out which side that is and put it up against the wall.
That's right.
Just quit that. Quit getting up on the wrong side of the bed.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Are you out there?
Yeah.
Quit having blue Mondays. What is a blue Monday anyway? I mean, Mondays are Mondays. They're not blue, green, whatever. I mean, it just, you know, we get in a funk sometimes and we confess our way into it. And we may get up and feel that way, but you know what? You can make a difference that day. You don't have to feel that way the rest of the day. You can set that thermostat. Set the thermostat for something else. You say, well, I don't think I'd be telling the truth. Well, that's exactly the way God operates. It's the way He's always operated. He called for light when it was dark.
Amen.
He calls those things that be not as though they were.
Yes.
Romans 4:17.
Yes,
it says concerning Abraham, he believed God. He believed God who calls those things that be not as though they were, who quickens the dead, makes the dead alive, and calls those things that be not as though they were. Wow.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And every farmer does the same thing. That's really what this is talking about here in Mark, the fourth chapter. Jesus relates God's word to like a farmer or a seed that's sown into the ground. Real simple principle. We could all get a hold of it. Boy, to God, we wish to God we would get a hold of it. That if we begin to plant the word of God in our lives, we can begin to change the harvest that we're getting. You know, if you don't like the outcome, you don't like what's coming in your life, well, it's real simple. Insanity is doing the same thing twice and expecting different results.
Amen.
Are you out there? So you got to change something you're doing, something you're saying, something you're praying. You got to change that if you want to change the outcome you're getting. If a farmer is tired of harvesting watermelons, then he's going to have to change what he's planting. At some point, he's got to plant something other than watermelons. If he keeps planting watermelons, he's going to keep getting watermelons. That's all he's ever going to get. I remember Jerry Savelle talking about a time he flew into England, Arkansas. Charles Capps, another Bible teacher, was they're good friends, and they both had airplanes. And Jerry was going in to preach at a meeting there, and he was with Charles Capps. And Charles is a farmer. He was a farmer, got a hold of the Word of God, changed his life, and began to teach all over the country and the world, really. But as he was flying in, Jerry mentioned to Charles Capps, who's flying this plane, he's flying into this field and landing. Charles Capps has a lot of land. And he says, Charles, I notice all that soybean out here. And Charles had grown corn, I think, before, or wheat. I can't remember which. But anyway, he says, yeah, it sure is. And Jerry said, well, why do you have soybean all out in your fields? And he said, well, because that's what I wanted. And he says, well, yeah, but I mean, you used to have corn. Why do you have soybean now? Why is soybean out? He said, because that's what I planted. And they're just flying in there, you know, just come right on in. And he says, well, why did you plant soybean, Charles? He said, because that's what I wanted. And they landed the plane, and Jerry goes, oh, I get it. Hello. Well, if you don't like what you're getting, then change what you're planting. Yes. It's real simple. Are you with me? Yes. Wish I had more peace. Well, plant some. You just, you know, get in the Word and start standing on the Word concerning peace, if that's the case. You know, Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, his mind is stayed on thee. That's a good one. Hallelujah. You know, just get some scriptures on, because he trusteth in thee, it goes on to say. Get some scriptures like that and begin to confess those and believe those. Plant those. Amen. And reap you a harvest. Prophesy your future. Put a stake on that row and tell me what's going to grow there. That's what every farmer does. And that's what God's calling us to do, is to take his word. The word was meant to be sown. He didn't give it to you just to chew on yourself. He wants you. Some of us are like cows. We got double stomachs. You know, we just chew one stomach, chew another stomach. But actually, we're supposed to be planting this. To bless others, and to bless the world that we live in, to help our family, bless the church, bless the community. You know, we should be doing that not just for ourselves, but for others. God doesn't want you poor. He doesn't want you sad. He doesn't want you, you know, to have a bad day. God has no purpose in that. It doesn't make God better when you go under. Doesn't make him look good either. Are you with me? He wants you to go over. Now, a lot of times, you know, we get sucker punched. Sometimes it's not our fault what happens to us. There's God, there's the devil. But then there's also you. We can do something about ourselves, amen? Amen? Hallelujah. And that's what he's calling us to do. I believe we can do a lot about the devil, too. You know, we get in the Word. Okay, y'all found Mark 4? Yes. Goodness gracious, that took a lot of time leading up to that one. Well, I was treading water, you know. I just want to make sure I get the pool full before I jumped off that diving board. You know, y'all will get that later. All these nuggets of wisdom and funny things I say. Okay. Mark, the fourth chapter. Notice what it says here. And again, he began to teach by the sea. Now, he's teaching now by the sea. He taught on a mountain. He taught everywhere. He's taught in a boat here. And he just went teaching in synagogues and villages and so on. It says, again, he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it. I think that's interesting. You know, we kind of get the idea that you got to be behind a pulpit, and you got to wear a suit and a tie, and do all those. And I wear a suit and tie on Sundays, but I don't stand behind a pulpit. That's because I'm too high strung. That's just, everybody's different. But if I sat down right here and just taught this whole message, I'd be just like Jesus. Think about it. He sat in a boat and talked to him. In fact, I would think more time, he probably sat down more than he stood up, unless he was in the synagogue, you know, out on the hillside and sitting in a boat here. And it says he sat down and he taught them, sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Can you imagine that picture? I mean, he was in a boat, and he's just sitting in that boat, and there were so many people, he had them line up really and sit down on the seashore, and he got out on the boat, which is good acoustics, I guess, going across that water. They didn't have amplification systems like we do today. But Jesus, you know, knew all the laws of nature. He made them. And so he sat in that boat, and he was speaking to them, you know, that voice being a little amplified, just like he's on a hillside speaking to them. There was some amplification there, you know, in that sense. And they were all sitting around the seashore, and he's preaching to them. Man, wouldn't you like to have been there? That would be a neat sight, wouldn't it? Seeing Jesus sit in that boat and just telling them about the importance of getting the Word of God in their life and what the kingdom of God is like. You know, Mark started out saying about Jesus in the first chapter, it says he preached the kingdom of God. I like that. The kingdom of God. You know, we're in a new kingdom. If we're Christians, we're believers. We may be in the world, we're not of it. We have a king, Jesus, and there are rules in the kingdom. And to preach the kingdom of God is to preach the rule and the reign of God. That's what he did. So he began to preach to them the rule and the reign of God, the authority of God, what a difference God can make in your life. And the rules that we operate by in this kingdom now. And that's some of what he's talking about here. These are rules of the kingdom. Hallelujah. And he taught him, and it says this in the third verse. It says, listen, behold, a sower. Well, the second verse says, then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went to sow. I love that. You know, as deep as Jesus was, the Son of the living God, God, the Creator, the Maker of all that is, the one who set the stars in the sky, he came down, humbled himself, became a man, and walked this earth, a perfect, sinless life, died for your sins and mine, went to hell, rose again, came out of that grave with the keys of hell and death, conquered hell, death, and the grave, sat down on the right hand of God. As great as Jesus is, the Creator and the Maker of all that is, he used very simple examples. And I think it's very important that we understand it's not about impressing someone, it's about communicating to someone. If you're not communicating, who cares how much you know? Are you with me? It's not about religious terminology. We all have it, and I can't help but say it because I'm quoting Scripture. Sometimes it comes out. But my job is to break it down, make it simple, and here's Jesus doing the same thing. Jesus walked around and says, see that lily over there? Solomon, all of his glory wasn't clothed like one of those lilies. If God so clothed the grass of the field, day is tomorrow's cast in the oven, how much more shall he not clothe you, O you of little faith? Consider that sparrow just flew by there. They neither toll nor reap nor gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? You see that mountain over there? If any man say that mountain, be that. See, he just walked along using simple things that everybody could relate to. And of course, that setting and that culture, a lot of people were farmers. A lot of people understood. They understood seeds and, you know, how things grew. And so he just used a simple example. You don't have to complicate it. Sometimes we can get so theological, and I know a lot of theological terms. I like studying some of that. Sometimes I like to impress people. But when you walk away, if you don't know anything other than I'm pretty smart, that's not going to help you. Are you with me? And so we need to think about that when we're trying to share with someone. It's not about sharing how much, letting people know how much we know. It's about communicating truth to people. Target your audience. You know, you really ought to. Find out where people are. People don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. But you can win a right to speak into their lives. If you'll listen to them and hear their story and try to relate to them where they are, then you'll make a difference. And Jesus was about making a difference. He didn't come here to impress anybody. He was doing pretty good before he came down here. He came down here for us, to help us, and use simple terms, tried his best to communicate, you know, as best he could, as people would receive him. If you don't receive him, he can't help you. But he used a simple parable, and he said this. A sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some fell on the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun rose up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But others' seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up and increased and produced some 30, some 60, some 100, some 100-fold, King James Version says. So we see here four types of ground, and this is an analogy of or a picture of us, really, is what it is. He explains it in a little more detail later. We can be those types of ground. We can be those types of people. But it's only when the Word gets in us that we're ever going to increase, ever going to have joy, ever going to have victory in our lives. So by all means, the most important thing we need to consider as we're reading the Word or looking at the Word is how can we get this in us? We need to keep all distractions out of the way. We need to break up the ground of our heart so it's not too hard, so hard that it just bounces off. You ever been mad? Anybody ever been mad? I got mad one time, 2003, I think it was.
Wow.
May of 2003. Man. You know, Brent and I, of course, we love the Bible. We talk, we preach to each other and minister to each other and pray for each other and share Scripture with each other. And sometimes when we get a little off, we'll correct each other. And if I'm mad, I don't receive it.
Yep.
You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you know, the worst thing Brenda can say to me is when I'm in a mess and not confessing the Word, not praying, not studying, not trusting God like I should. I'm just upset about something, you know, and I'm rattling, you know. The worst thing she could say to me is, sound like you need to listen to some of your sermons. Hello. Or the Bible says, you know, quote a scripture to me. Because I'm mad, it just bounces off. You ever had that happen? The very thing I need, I can't receive it. I'm not listening to it because I am upset. So I need to till the ground. Sometimes I need a sledgehammer to break up the rock.
That's right.
And God sent me this sledgehammer to break up the rock of my hard heart sometimes. But you can understand stony ground, that's real simple. You know, by the wayside, they all walked by the wayside. It just, you know, it's hard, and then stony ground. You got to till the ground. Brenda was planting flowers today because we're flying out tomorrow, so she brought these flowers that we've had for 2 weeks, and we need to get them in the ground. So we're planting them right before we come to church. You say, why'd you do that right before you come to church? Because we still had the flowers and they weren't in the ground, so we were having to plant them right before we come to church. But what I went out there, real simple, you know, I had to get a shovel and break up the ground in the flower bed. Because you got to plant those flowers. You can't just throw them on top of the ground. Hello, they're nice little flowers and everything, but they just won't grow unless you put them in the ground. And you really need to break up the ground, or they'll just get root bound. You know, they won't be able to branch out because the ground's so hard. So you have to break up that ground. We've got to do a lot of that in our lives to receive the word. Are you with me? And so he's talking about these types of ground, and we all understand this. It's real simple. I think about this where he says, someone fell on stony ground where it did not have any much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. I remember I planted 3 acres of cantaloupes behind my place one time. I was working on the produce market, and my dad, you know, my grandfather was a farmer. My dad has always had a garden. I got a can opener. Okay. Times have changed, haven't they?
Yep.
But I've done some farming, you know, a little farming, and I thought, well, I'll just plant 3 acres of cantaloupes out here and take them to the market and sell them and everything just fine. I plowed it all up, you know, and planted all these cantaloupes, Magnum 45s. Those are good cantaloupes, big, good cantaloupes. I had the most beautiful plants you ever saw in your life. It had rained. I mean, we'd had so much rain. It was just awesome. The plants, I had the most beautiful plants. But then it stopped raining, and the sun came out. Hello. And because those plants had grown so fast, and they had it so easy, as it were, there was no root system in those plants. So immediately they began to die off. Because, see, the roots were just on top of the ground because we had so much water. Are you with me?
Right.
It had no depth of earth. I remember the Mavericks one year had a great team, but they had no depth. In other words, they had star players, but when they tired out, there was nobody on the bench to put up. You know, are you with me? There was no depth. Great teams have depth. They have players that can take up the slack when others get tired and so on and so forth. So in our lives as Christians, if we don't have any depth of earth, we can get a surface knowledge of the Word, as it were. But we're not really living it as we should. We're really not applying it on our job and our marriage and so on and so forth. And then when the big one hits, you know, when the tsunami comes or whatever, you know, we're not ready for it. When the sun comes out, we have no root. And so we just quickly, you know, quickly give up. We need depth, amen? And that's because the Word has got to get deep in you. It's got to get deep in you to have an effect on your life. And it's got to be in your daily agenda. It's got to be in, you know, the way you pray. It's got to be the way you talk about things. It's got to be involved in your business. The Word needs to be first place in our lives. It needs to get inside of us if it's going to make a difference in our life. You know, I tell you what, I believe in the Word, but not so much that I see it so plainly. It's just by it I see everything else. I think it's C.S. Lewis that says, I believe in God like I believe in the sun. Not that I can see it or look right at it, but through it I see it, everything else. Everything else makes more sense with the Word. My marriage makes more sense. My family makes more sense. My job, ministry, everything makes more sense when I have God's Word on the matter. It enlightens me. Light shines in that sense. So it goes on and says this. He's talking about all these different types of ground, and he explains in detail later about them. Seventh verse says, and some seed fell upon thorns, and thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang and increased, produced some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. How about you? You got ears? Okay. We need to have ears to hear. Not just registering the words, but actually thinking and meditating on them. I always heard an expecting ear, E-A-R, is to expect, to anticipate, and receive. That's a hearing ear, an expectant ear. Expect, anticipate, and receive. When he was done, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable, and he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Woo! Did y'all see that? To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, not close to the Lord, not inside with him, not spending time with the Lord, those that are outside the Lord, it'll always be a mystery. Don't know why we're having such a bad time. Don't know why this keeps happening to me. Don't know why this keeps going on. Well, you know what? Come on in a little closer. Come on in a little deeper. You know, I believe it was Alexander Pope said it this way. He said, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. You must drink deep to touch the Parian spring. He said, little droughts intoxicate the brain, but drinking more sobers us up again. That's a deep point when you think about it. But a lot of people are intoxicated with a little knowledge. A little knowledge gone wild. They just didn't get deep enough. They didn't come in a little closer. You can get drunk with a little knowledge, but you'll sober up with a lot of knowledge. Isn't that right? Even God is as hot, you know, and on fire. Our God is a consuming fire. He only burns at a distance. The closer you get, the less he burns you. And those that are burning forever, they're way, way away from God. They're way, way far away. The closer you get to the Lord, the less you get burnt, as it were. And the more you drink this, the soberer you get.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Those that are without don't get it. Those that are in do. You know, I know more about sin by serving God than I did when I was sinning.
That's right.
When I was lost and in sin, drugs, jails, all those things, I didn't know. You know, people talk about street savvy and, you know, it's good you came out of all that because you know about all that stuff. I know more about that stuff now than I did when I was in it. I'd a whole lot rather never gone through it. Hello. And been delivered from it instead of out of it. You know, Chris? Chris has been delivered from drugs. He's been delivered from jails. Never went to jail. Never did any drugs. He's delivered from alcohol. Never did any alcohol. He was delivered from it. I was delivered out of it. But he's got a better testimony than I've got. Because he's delivered from it. Are you out there? A guy standing against the wind knows more about the pressure and the force of the wind than the guy that just falls over when it first starts blowing. I always like this. You know, if you want a dissertation and someone to give you a speech on drunkenness, you don't want a drunk up here. You want somebody sober.
That's right.
Isn't that right? A sober guy knows more about being drunk than a drunk guy does. He's too drunk to know.
That's right.
And if you want a dissertation about sleep, how about that? You want someone up here laying down sleeping? Or you want someone awake? You know more about sleeping when you're awake. You know more about drunkenness when you're sober. You know more about sin when you're living holy.
Amen.
Virtue knows vice, but vice doesn't know virtue. Woo! So the closer you get in to God, the closer you get to Him, the more you know. You understand the mysteries. I like this. And you know what he said was simple. The mystery of the kingdom of God. We're in this kingdom. Everybody say the kingdom of God.
Kingdom.
There are rules that this kingdom operates by. There are laws of, just like there's laws in the natural, there's laws in the spirit. There's physical laws, there's laws of gravity, there's laws of electricity. If you violate those laws, they will kill you. Gravity holds you to the ground, keeps you from flying off to the moon. It's a wonderful thing. But if you jump off a building, that same law will kill you because you misuse it. Electricity will light your lights and turn your air conditioners on, your heaters on when you need those. It'll cook your food. Electricity is a wonderful thing when you cooperate with it. You cut into that wire and grab it, that same law will kill you if you violate it. There are spiritual laws in effect in the earth today, and God is just trying to help us. He's trying to keep us from killing ourselves and shooting ourselves in the foot. Are you with me? He wants us to learn them and understand them so we cooperate with them so we can have a good life, hallelujah, and have joy and have victory. But because of ignorance, I didn't say stupidity, because of ignorance, because we just don't know, we just keep doing the same dumb thing over and over. Keep grabbing that wire, woo-woo-woo, man, wow. Whew, wow. Go over and grab it again. Well, stop grabbing the wire. Are you with me? Quit pulling the trigger. You know, that's what he's telling us to do here. It's real simple. Start planting my word in your life. Open yourself up to me. Quit being closed off and hard. Quit letting all the cares of this world choke it out. Put me first. You'll have the best life you ever had, ever dreamed of having, if you'll let the word and allow the word to get inside of you. If you understand agricultural laws, understand sowing and reaping, that's how the kingdom operates. The kingdom of God operates that way. You give, it comes back. You love, love comes back. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. You receive His word, it will produce. Right. Don't dig it back up. Don't throw it out. Don't quit. You hang in there. Just let the word get in you. Get around it. Soak it up. You know, listen to it. Hear it over and over. Start saying it. Start praying it. Start living it. Little by little, that harvest will start growing. This is how the kingdom works. It works in your daily agenda. It works in your daily lives, what you do on a regular basis. Not every once in a while, not in a crisis, but what you do over and over, like a farmer, always planting that seed, keeping that seed in the ground, watering that seed, go back every year after year planting seed. He didn't just harvest all that stuff one year and say, well, that's it, I'm not going to plant again. He's always planting. In fact, some farmers plant different crops that you know that are mature and ripen and harvest throughout the year at different times. Are you out there? Yeah. This is the mystery of the kingdom. Man, this is good stuff. Yeah. Stir me up just thinking about it. You know, I mean, God's word being seed just is no big mystery. Nothing new. It's all in the Bible. In fact, he jumps down. Let's jump down to 13th verse. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? Wow. Places a little importance on this, doesn't he?
Right.
That's why this is over in Matthew and in Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke have this parable. He says, the sower sows the word. Don't have to interpret that one. He already tells you. Amen? The sower sows the word. Real simple. And if you go through these types of ground, they're who we are at different times in our life. And we need to be good ground, not that hard ground, not that wayside ground, not that thorny ground. We need to be ground that receives what God has to say to us. You know, sometimes it's hard to receive instruction. We're so smart. In fact, I often say this, you can be too smart to get this. But you can't be too dumb to get it. That's the good news. Are you with me? You can be too smart to get it. I've often been too smart to get this. How about you? I often have known better than what God knows, you know, about a situation. I often know a whole lot more than He does. And I've gone my way instead of His. And boy, there is a way that seems right to man, the end thereof are the ways of death. But see, if you'll submit yourself to God and say, look, I don't know anything but what you say, God. I'll receive what you have for me. I'm ground open and ready for some seed. Then you'll produce 30, 60, 100 fold. You know, listen to what Isaiah said. Isaiah said it this way, Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11. He said, as the snow cometh down, the rain from heaven returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Did y'all catch that? As the snow and the rain comes down from heaven and waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. As that happens, as water, rain, and snow comes down, to for this intent, this purpose, to make the earth increase, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. The purpose of the water is to make it increase. You can take a desert and you throw water on it, all of a sudden things start popping up, things you never dreamed were there, nothing but dry ground, and all of a sudden flowers and trees, things start coming up because the water has gotten in the ground, and that's what the water came down to do, is to make the ground increase, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the ear. The next verse, 11th verse, Isaiah 55 says, so shall my word be. So shall my word be. Be what? Be like that water that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. What is the thing God sent the word to? You? Me? Well, why did God send His word? Well, why did He send the rain? To cause increase in your life. You tired of wandering around in a wilderness of your own making? Are you tired of, you know, eating dust and eating your own dust cloud, walking around the dry land of your life? You can get the word in your life and bring increase in your life and bring forth and bud and give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. You can. You can do it if you get the word in you. And that's what Jesus is saying. This is the kingdom. This is the kingdom of God. God rules. It's God's house that He makes the rules. But if we'll follow those rules, He'll bless us. That's the intent. That's the purpose. That's why He wants us to get a hold of it. And it all is contingent on how we receive it. It really is. The word can be thrown out here in every service and every sermon and every radio program, every television program. It can be thrown out even you, as you read it yourself and read the Bible. But what's going to make the difference is how you receive it. Whether you receive it or not. Whether you've got a lot of things choking it out in your life and that are first place besides Him. Or whether you're just hard because of bitterness or whatever the case may be. Or whether you're just kind of flighty, like a granola bar, fruity, nutty, and flaky.
Wow.
Hello. No stability in your life. Just jump from one thing, nothing, nothing. Get all excited about this, but next week you're excited about something else. Hey, get some stability in your life. Are you with me? You know I love you. I'm not I'm not mean. I'm the nicest guy you'll ever meet. Are you kidding me? Come on, I love you. I'm for you. But we got to address these things because the problem's not God. Are you out there? Is it a sin to be down? No, we've all been down. Is it a sin to be poor? No, we've all been poor. Is it a sin to be sick? No. Is it a sin to be depressed? No. But you know what is a sin? Stay there.
That's right.
That's a sin. That was a curse one tribe used to put on another. I can't remember where it was, some country years ago. This tribe would put a curse on another tribe that they would never go anywhere other than where they were. They'd never leave where they were. What a curse that you never come out of what you're in. That you never progress, you never grow, you never change, you know. But the word will change, amen? Can I run through this real quick? That wasn't real strong, but... Okay. Listen, now think about it. He's talking about the kingdom of God. He's talking about the word of God. Inseparable. How can you separate those things? You know, the higher a king is, the higher authority a person is, the less they rule and manage physically. In fact, the higher the authority, the more they rule by their word, and the highest authority does nothing but give commands. So how does God rule? His word. Think about it. He's the highest authority there is. He doesn't have to get involved in it. He just says it. He speaks it. He says it. He says, let there be light, and there's light. Well, God's wanting us to rule that way with the word. You know, I'm going to set my thermostat on 1 Peter 2:24, by His stripes I'm healed. I'm going to set my thermostat on Philippians 4:19, my God supplied all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's where I'm setting my thermostat. I'm calling for it. You say, well, I don't believe that. I think you ought to just say the way it is. Anybody got a dog? In the yard? You got a dog in the yard? Okay, you ever had a dog? You're getting ready to feed them and they're not there? What do? You call them? What do you say? If it's Rover, what would you say? Rover! Time to eat. Rover, come here. Rover, come here. Well, now, if you just tell it like it is, you get out there and say, the dog's not here. Isn't that right?
Yep.
You'd run up down the road. Dog's not here. Dog's not here. Just telling it like it is. Dog, just say it like it is. I'm always just saying what I see. The dog's not here.
Can you
Dog's not here. Neighbor looking out the window thinking, boy, he's lost it, I'm telling you. What are you doing? I'm just telling it like it is. That's what I'm doing. Not going to get me to lying. The dog's not here. Rover, you're not here. No, you call for Rover. Isn't that right? You say, Rover, come here. That's like calling, you know, Michael Harrison and say, man, I mean, his air conditioner is not working. What's the thermostat set on? It's set on 80 degrees. Well, you got to set it on 70. Yeah, but it's 80 degrees right now. Well, yeah, but you got to set it for what you want it to be. Well, I'd be lying if I did that. It's 80 degrees. That's what I got it set on. This thing's not working. And he's thinking, no, your brain's not working.
Amen.
You got to set the thermostat for what you want. You got to call for the dog.
Amen.
The farmer doesn't get out there on the ground and say, there's grass out on the ground. There's weeds out on the ground. 6 months later, there's weeds on the ground, grass on the ground. I mean, finally, this guy's going to go completely out of business. Lose his mind totally. He's got to get out there and start calling for something. I'm not putting up with that. I'm going to plow that up, and I'm going to plant me some seed. And somebody comes by and says, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm growing some watermelons. Well, I don't see any watermelons. Doesn't matter. That's what I'm growing. Well, how do you know that? Because that's what I put in the ground. And I'm calling for it. I'm going to put a stake right on the end of that row, and you can come look at it. You just keep coming by here, you'll see them come up. And in time, you'll see those watermelons come right out of that ground. I'm prophesying right now. I'm declaring my future right now. I'm decreeing what's going to be. Every farmer does it. They do it every year. What's so hard about that? I mean, we make it so complicated, don't we? We need to plant some seed in our marriage, some seed in our business. Some seed in our lives. Find what God says and plant that seed and call for a different future with the power of God's word. This is the kingdom. This is the mystery of the kingdom. It's how the kingdom works. If you don't understand this, you won't understand any of the parables Jesus spoke. That's good stuff, isn't it? Okay, real quickly, let me read through here. Am I helping you? Okay. He said in the 14th verse, the sower sows the word. These are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes in immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart. Listen, when you get a hold of something, something comes alive to you, you better watch it now, because the devil will come and try to steal it from you. Don't let him do it. You hang on to that revelation. Go tell somebody about it. Share it with somebody. Write it down. Put it on, you know, underline it, circle it. Talk about it for about a week or two. Get it in you. Don't let the devil steal it. I can remember when I was growing up, my dad, when we retired from the Army, he planted watermelons. I had two uncles that raised watermelons. My dad raised watermelons. He was from the country. We moved back to the country and 4 miles down our dirt road. And I remember we planted watermelons and corn and peas. And it was just the most amazing thing. I think crows are the smartest bird that ever hit God's green earth. I'm convinced the owl has, hands down, has lost out to the crow. We literally plant these rows of corn. And then we'd go off and eat, you know, eat lunch, and come back. I have come back on those crows, come back, and they're in that corn patch, just planted the seed, okay? Walking down the road, stopping and digging out that corn. Walking down a little bit, dig out another one. That's why my uncles gave me $1 apiece for every crow I killed. Because they would tear up watermelons. They try to get the seed. The devil loves to get the seed immediately before it can grow, see? They're like the birds of the air that come down. That's what he's saying. The devil's like, he's swarming around, hovering around. See, you can tell him where to get off. You don't have to put up with that. Tell the devil where to get off. You resist the devil. You submit to God and resist the devil. He'll flee from you. But I'll tell you what he wants. Real simple. He just wants the word. That's all he wants. He'll do anything to keep you out of the word. It doesn't matter what it is. If he can keep you out of church, keep you out of the Bible, keep you from praying, keep you from studying, keep you from reading your Bible, if he can do that, he has done his job. He doesn't care about anything else. Because if you get in the Word, you're going to be a threat to him, and you're going to start growing, and God's going to start blessing you. Pure and simple. Don't be that kind of ground. He goes on and says this, 16th verse, these likewise are the ones on stony ground, which when they heard the word, immediately received it with gladness. I've had people come to church, get all excited. That's good. I love that. I love excitement. But I'm sometimes they'll come first service. Oh, I've been looking for this all my life. Oh, this is wonderful. Woo! This is awesome. I'm telling you, this is the best thing I ever heard. Where have you been all my life? Here you are. You've been here all this time. This is awesome. Never see them again. I'm not making this up. I'm thinking, what happened to those people? I mean, everybody's different. Some more excitable than others. And I've had some that, you know, enjoy the service and everything, and they come another week. Before long, man, I mean, you couldn't shake them out of here with a stick. They're here year after year after year. I remember Henry Wise came that way. Most of y'all know Henry. Henry came, we were in the other building. We just started the church 29 years ago. Henry came up those stairs and sat in the back real quiet, didn't say a whole lot. Came a couple services, I think three or four services, I don't know. But after about three or four services, I gave an altar call, and Henry was bawling and crying down front and gave his heart to Jesus.
Praise God.
And I've never been able to get rid of Henry. Wouldn't want to. Just a sweet, sweet guy. But I remember that. I mean, you know, he listened, and God was dealing with him, and he came back. You see, that's what you got to do. Are you with me? You got to do it. It's nothing wrong getting excited. I love getting excited. But you can't run on emotion. You got to run on, because bad days come, they go, they're up, they're down. You know, but God remains the same. You hang in there, you stay consistent. Listen, the farmer plants that seed. Some days it rains, some days it doesn't. Some days the wind blows, some days it doesn't. Some days it's cold, some days it's warm. But you know, he keeps that seed in the ground, and he keeps cultivating, weeding it, and he keeps watering it. And you know what? The harvest comes. Hallelujah. Anyway, it says here, some fall on stony ground, and when they hear the word, immediately they receive with gladness, but they had no root in themselves, and endure only for a time, and afterward, when tribulation or persecution arise for the word's sake, people start saying you're acting a little funny, immediately they stumble. Not everybody's all excited about you getting saved or getting right with God or getting a hold of the word. Now these are they which are sown among thorns. They're the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. God's got to be first place. We have our lives, and we do our things, and we have our hobbies, and that's likes and dislikes. That's fine, that's wonderful. But you know, God's got to be first. Whatever it is we're doing, God's got to be first.
That's right.
Amen? Don't let anything else choke that out, because there's nothing better for you than God. And there's nobody to love you like he loves you. Nobody ever will do for you what Jesus will do for you. Nobody. So he has to be first. And it goes on and says this, 20th verse, and this is us. Everybody say, this is me. Hallelujah. But these are the ones sown on good ground.
Yes.
Woo, hallelujah, that's me. Those are ones that hear the word and accept it. Yes, amen. I accept it. I agree with that. And bear fruit. In other words, they act on it. They do it. They use it. They apply it, they plant it, they bear fruit, and some 30-fold, and some 60, and some 100.
Amen.
Hallelujah, let me be that 100. Hallelujah. Amen? But it comes from how much of the word you hold on to and you guard and you keep in your heart. God wants to bless you, there's no question about that. But there are some rules. Amen?
Yes.
The mystery, it's not a complicated mystery, it's not a mystery anymore, as long as he, you know, once he reveals it to you. Once you get a hold of it, cooperate with it. Hey, learn to walk. Learn what gravity is all about. It takes kids a while to get a hold of it. They stumble, they fall, they hit their heads. But, you know, eventually they get a hold of it. They keep working with it. They keep moving. They keep, you know, they get coordinated. And finally, gravity's no problem at all. They're working with it.
Yes.
That's all God's saying is work with me here. Just work with me here. Instead of working against me, let's work with him. Hallelujah. Learn the laws, learn the principles, and start operating in them. Quit grabbing that live wire. Amen. Quit doing that. You know, quit jumping off that house. Let's quit doing those things that are bringing all those bad results. You say, what are those things? Well, yeah, I don't know. You have to get in the Word and find out. I know if you get in the Word, you'll find some edges you need to hone off. You'll find some things you need to adjust, some tweaking you need to do. You need to readjust and recalculate. You know, like a GPS. You're getting a little off here. You need to recalibrate here. You need to get back on track. Hallelujah.